You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, are Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Great.
We got a special guest today.
We do.
Talking about the quarter two market. My counterpart, our other Senior Director of Operations, Katie McGovern. Katie, good afternoon.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
How's it going?
It's good. I'm excited for this to be my first podcast ever. Can't believe it took this long, honestly, to get on this podcast.
I agree.
Hopefully we never get you off now. Hopefully this is a returning guest thing.
Well, hopefully it goes well and I get invited back.
There you go. And get invited back. For those who don't know, Katie, you've been with us here at Zipline Logistics for...
Yeah, just over 12 years.
A dozen years. Teddy just celebrated a dozen years as well in November.
Yeah.
I'm 12 years in June, so we are... three out of the five longest tenured employees here at Zipline Logistics. This is pretty wild.
That's correct.
17 years in existence in June for Zipline. We started in 2007. So over two thirds, if my math is correct, over 75% almost of the time. I don't know.
Long time.
Oh, we've been here a long time.
My whole adult life, I've been at Zipline.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about it before, but yeah, I was the only one of the three of us that was married. None of us had children, mm-hmm. and now all those things have changed. So
Katie and I were in the same training class.
That's
when
exciting.
We started, so
we're talking about the market. Quarter two specifically, we've got a couple weeks left here in quarter one. It's been a fun ride in quarter one. As we head, we finished quarter four, the end of the holiday season, New Year's, and then we roll right into January. January was exciting, to say the least.
Yeah, there were some bumps in there with the weather, but that's to be expected during the winter months.
Yeah, it was a tough few weeks there, particularly in the Northeast, as far as weather disruptions were concerned. We saw the typical I-80 blast with snow, ice, and then certainly California on the West Coast. We've had some rain recently, some heavy rain, and some difficulty there that have been disruptive. But overall, Katie, what do you think? Do you think the things are difficult for carriers? Or I guess, let me rephrase that. Is it a better market right now for shippers or carriers?
Yeah, right now, the market is definitely shifted in a positive direction for our shippers. We are seeing relative stability for our customers, and going into Q2, I expect that to continue. I don't see a large market disruption until later in the year. We'll see the relative seasonality disruptions that come with produce season. But other than that, I expect Q2 to look largely as it has been the past 6 months, let's say.
Yeah, there's been a lot of news out there. There just hasn't been that much disruption because there's not a lot of demand right now, right? Like, I mean, we've talked about it before, but certainly 2 years, 2020 and 2022, 2020 through 2022, at least halfway through 2022, of heavy, heavy demand all across the domestic 48 United States, right? A lot of people buying products, particularly CPG products, to be delivered to their houses, disrupting the supply chain. And then as we started heading back to the office place, things opened up. Overall, the demand just kind of stabilized and has been for the last 2 years. And that has resulted, I guess, combined with the increase in carriers entering the market in those 2 years as well. We're still seeing that. I think the last update we had in our pricing meeting, there were still roughly 60,000 carriers more. 60,000 more motor carrier operating authorities in the market than it was in 2019.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There definitely is still an oversupply in the marketplace. We're seeing consumer demand similar this year to how it was in 2023. We are seeing carriers leave the marketplace, and that's going to continue throughout the year, which is where we're going to start to see some of that market shift, where our spot rates are going to be more in line with what the contract rates are. But again, I don't foresee that really reaching any sort of equilibrium until the second half of the year. And probably those lines won't cross really until 2025. If I had a magic ball and could predict the future, which I'm trying to do right now.
Yeah.
Sounds great to me.
So we can fact check this in a year.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I have about that is, you're talking about we don't have a demand issue. And obviously you can see that when you're looking at spot rates versus contract rates. Something we talk about a lot on the floor and in this podcast is being proactive. So what suggestions or recommendations would you give to shippers, specifically CPG shippers, knowing that like everything is pretty even right now? But what strategies on buying can you recommend?
Yeah, I would say definitely make sure that you are getting in with partner carriers that are able to deliver service to you. Right now, that is not extremely hard to come by because we're seeing better service levels at lower rates, but it's really important that you're picking carriers that don't just offer a paper rate to you. That is not really going to move the truck when the market starts to get a little bit tougher and those carriers continue to leave the market. So definitely you want to find a partner that is going to be able to do what they said they're going to do for the rate they said they're going to do it for.
Because that's when we start to see the spot market change a little bit, is when we see those rejections come in and start to cause that influx. And then all of a sudden they're back to square one trying to find someone to deliver something last minute.
Yeah, exactly. The tender rejections are fairly low right now. And once we do start to see the secondary carrier on the routing guides pick up some of those tenders and the primary carrier declining those tenders, rates are going to start to go up, spot rates are going to go up, and it's going to be a better opportunity for carriers to get more volume with shippers that they haven't been seeing the volume with.
That's a great call out. I think it's been a challenge for us. Certainly RFP cycles, right? Most of those happen in quarter four and quarter one. We're still going through a handful right now. And to see, like you said, to try to predict the future and whether it's a quarterly bid or a 6 month long bid or even a year long bid, you know, planning for those disruptions and trying to be aggressive and win freight, but also like take into consideration that things might get difficult in the next 3 to 6 months. It has been a challenge. And then I think it's been a positive for us though, to reflect on those longstanding partnerships, like you mentioned, with our customers, and to emphasize, you know, a lot of the stuff that we are preaching on a daily basis, service, specialization, really happens regardless of the market, right? So like that's been a nice thing for us to, when we get another RFP with a current customer, is to say, all right, well, let's reflect on the last 6 months of our performance. Oh, you were 96% on time to Walmart. We would like that to continue. Great. This is the new rate, or this is, we can maintain our current rate, or things like that. So the customers who understand that appreciate that visibility and that adherence to the things that we're, you know, again, preaching what we say we're going to deliver. And I think that's been interesting to watch, is that because the demand is so low, other carriers who maybe aren't CPG specialists are jumping in and maybe taking their chance at some of those difficult receivers and maybe not having as much success. So that has resulted in a few opportunities for us to kind of step in and say, hey, you know, always keep us in the back of the mind, and we can help where you need it. So that's, have you seen a few of those examples?
Yeah, absolutely. We are seeing opportunities where customers are contracted with carriers that are not able to deliver on time and in full because they don't, like you said, Jesse, have that specialization, or they're rolling loads to fit their trucks. Whereas we know if it's going into a certain retailer, there are very specific requirements. There's a must deliver on day that we need to hit. Otherwise, there could be massive fallout from retailer fines for missing due days, and out of stock also is a hot button right now. I think retailers are starting to recognize what opportunity costs there is when their product is not on the shelves. We're seeing that the newer generations are not as loyal to brands, and so they are fine reaching to the next product that they see if the one that they go to normally is not on the shelf. So that's been really interesting to watch that shift happen in consumers.
Mm-hmm.
I think retailers have just as much effect on the marketplace as the economy does. And I think sometimes people overlook that, especially if they're not in the CPG space. They don't necessarily think about what happens if you deliver a little later than expected. But I think regardless of whether you have those OTIFs, MABDs, or requirements or not, it can cause a lot of issues for any shipper if they're not delivering when they were requested to.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing Zipline is really great at doing is being a partner to our customers and calling out optimizations where we see them. So if we're noticing that a load should be delivering on a Monday instead of Sunday, we'll work with our customer and maybe talk to the buyer of that retailer to see if we can shift that moving forward, because we are always looking for opportunities to make the freight a win-win scenario for everyone. The buyer wants that product to get there just as much as the customer does, just as much as we do. So if we can all work together to make that happen, I think that's really where we see the magic and why we have such a high customer retention rate.
What's up, truckers? If you're loving this episode of the Truck Yeah podcast, I guarantee you'll also love Zipline Logistics' newest ebook. It's called Leveraging Shipper Intelligence Technology to Navigate Supply Chain Issues. And this amazing ebook dives deep into how you can select the best shipping technology to maximize your brand's ROI, a peek into what technology that's out there, and everything you need to know about Zipline's proprietary shipping intelligence tool, Canopy. And you want to know the best part? It's completely free. So you can download the ebook by visiting www.ziplinelogistics.com or by simply clicking the link in the show notes. This is an amazing resource that you don't want to miss out on the opportunity to check out. So go download it right now. Now let's get back to the episode.
I feel like you created a lot of the optimization we see on the floor today. Like in the beginning, like that was you.
Teddy, you're making me blush.
That's true. I remember you on your spreadsheet making magic work before we had all the technology that we have now that was copied off of you, essentially.
Well, it's definitely a team effort. It's fun. Freight is like one giant puzzle.
Well, I think having worked with you for, as we said, a dozen years, I think a lot of this stuff is once you're thrown into the proverbial frying pan, right? And we figure it out. So the directive, we were certainly founded on a quote unquote better way and the goal of improving the lives of transportation professionals. And optimization is certainly one of those things. So, hey, we're going to figure out a way to save you money. Customer X, one way is by consolidation. Another way is by optimization. Another way is saying, like you said, this delivery on Sunday doesn't make much sense. We should deliver it on Monday, et cetera, et cetera. Circling back to our original point on the market. You talked about seasonality. Okay, so I want to get a little bit into the freight nerddom here, but for our listeners who may not have experience like we discussed, some folks here, well, the market's soft, demand's low. Why are my rates for outbound Florida going up in April? This doesn't make any sense. You said the market was soft. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that over the next 3 months, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, the market overall is soft. However, there are pockets within the country and certain periods of time within the country where the market is doing the opposite. So Florida right now or soon will be produce season come April, and we're going to see that market in the South. shipped.
Right. There's going to, at some point, right, there's going to be more shipments than there were trucks, right? It's just a population, inbound population side. There's not a lot of retail deliveries into, let's call it, Fort Lauderdale. But at some point, there's a lot of agriculture coming out of there between, we call it Tax Day, April 15th through maybe Memorial Day. And then it kind of moves north, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And since a lot of our customers are doing year-long RFPs, it's important to keep that in mind when you are picking carriers, because some carriers will not move your freight optimally. They'll roll the loads. They'll not deliver on the service during those tougher periods of time. And so you want to make sure that you are picking a carrier that can stick with you throughout that entire seasonality.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, I have a question for you.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
If you are a shipper, how would you insulate yourself from the seasonality, the produce season, the Christmas tree season, if you maybe ship in or out of one of those markets?
Wow, that's a really great question. Well, like big picture, you know, we certainly talk about it in the pricing department that if you want the most aggressive pricing for a shorter period of time is running like a quarterly bid or a smaller bid. Now, that being said, the best solution to me is probably working with a carrier, finding a carrier that's delivering on that service. Like we said, 85% of our freight is CPG. So, hey, let's focus in on the service that you're providing, carrier X. If you tell me you need X amount of dollars more during this time period, then let's focus in on how to get that dollar amount down in a different time period, right? As long as we're maintaining those service metrics, then I'm going to trust you and move forward that way.
Yeah, that's a good call out, doing shorter cycles on your RFPs, because if you are having tender rejections from that primary carrier in those tougher times, you might be moving to the spot market and that freight is going to get very expensive for you to move.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not as reliable on the delivery end either. You really need to know those partners, regardless of who you're working with. I like both your points too. I think those are really amazing. One thing that I keep thinking about, like ever since we started working here through all the trainings, we always talk about how important it is to understand a full market cycle. And I think that that's one of the most important things in a partner, is that you need to be able to look at trends and be able to anticipate them and discuss them and actually listen to what is potentially coming up, because you could maybe find, you know, again, some optimization, alternate routes, alternate shippers if you have multiple locations. And I think sometimes that's the most important thing, is not just actually letting the market take you where it's going to go, but anticipating and planning around it too.
One of the best ways I think we partner with our customers, kind of adhering to those metrics, is our canopy system. How about that? Whether that's through weekly, biweekly, monthly calls with them, reviewing our performance metrics in particular. Everything that ships through us goes through our canopy software, and it's cleaned up into a data analytics page that basically scorecards us based around the customer's expectations. So if you want 95% delivery into Walmart, we can break that down by Walmart as a whole, a specific lane, whatever the customer wants us to do, and then you hold us accountable. And then if it changes, we have to answer to that. So I think that's been really, really beneficial for some of our smaller clients and really larger clients too. It's been a fun evolution to watch here over the last, I don't know, 7 to 10 years since we've really rolled out Canopy.
Yeah, Canopy is amazing because you're getting the data. Data is extremely valuable in and of itself. But what is even more valuable than data are the solutions that you can drive around the holes that you're seeing in the data. And that is, again, really where Zipline stands out among our competitors, is we're calling those things out that we're seeing and providing solutions to how to, again, optimize the routing better, for example, or putting together consolidations for our customers so that they can maximize the pallet counts on their trucks.
Mm-hmm. One other call out, we talked about seasonality, certainly produce season, really post Memorial Day. The port city of Los Angeles is going to start heating up. That's pretty typical starting in June through the summer. So I definitely wanted to call that out to all of our Truck Yeah listeners. But then heading into quarter three, as we wrap up here, any thoughts on quarter three as you look into your crystal ball, Katie?
My crystal ball is showing that quarter three will be a very similar continuation of quarter two. However, just more exaggerated with the number of carriers exiting the market. Again, the spot load rates are going to get closer to our contract rates, and there's going to be more opportunity for carriers out there to capitalize on maybe the business that they haven't been seeing, or just get more money for the loads that they're moving. Because right now, a lot of carriers are leaving the marketplace because they're not being paid enough to move the freight. Their operating costs are higher. Not everyone has been able to sustain that. And, you know, people are holding on to volume right now, even at the lower rates, because they want to keep that business in their network. That's really important for future growth. So if, you know, you're able to sustain this or weather this seasonality or year, if you're able to weather what you've been able to weather thus far and throughout the rest of the year, I think the carriers will come out on top, certainly in 2025.
Yeah, that's a really good call. I think it's important to note July 4th is probably going to be a blitz week, a safety week in there at some point. And then Memorial Day, all those things happen in quarter three, along with another produce season out west. So there is going to be some slight disruptions. Based on what we're tracking, there's going to have to be a lot more carriers exiting the market to really, really throw things into chaos. Obviously, there could be a weather disruption, like you said, a hurricane or something crazy. And then we head into quarter four with a presidential election, which could potentially throw some things into chaos as well. But I think you hit the nail on the head there with 2025 being a potential flip in the market. But I don't think 2024 is going to be too disruptive other than those pockets.
Yeah, I know you already did a podcast on produce season specifically, but just to reiterate, I do think that will be pretty muted this year, similar to last year, certainly more muted than years prior to 2023.
As always, if you have any questions, you can call us at 888-GO-ZIPLINE. Reach us on the web at www.ziplinelogistics.com. Teddy, always a pleasure.
Same. Thank you.
Katie, thanks for joining us.
Been great. Thank you.
We'll see you next time on the podcast. Thanks, everybody.